Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1. What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't make a thing, unless it's a thing. This is Wretched Radio. What things am I thinking about? All kinds of issues these days that are dividing Christ's people. I do not know that the devil has ever been more successful in sowing seeds of discord on issues that maybe are a thing, but maybe they're not a thing. What's my definition of what a thing is versus what a thing is? A thing is an essential orthodox issue. It is a cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith. That's a thing. And those things, when compromised, can cause correct biblical division. Mark those which cause what? Mark those which cause division and avoid them. So divide from the dividers. Mark those who are false teachers. Mark those Christians whose beliefs are aberrant and avoid them. That is a thing based on the essential doctrines of the faith. Now, so that nobody thinks that the secondary or tertiary issues aren't important, they are important, and we tend to deal with that denominationally. We find ourselves in an organizational structure that's more in alignment with how we view secondary and tertiary issues. There's nothing wrong with that. But those issues, and I think I would have to say overall, the conservative community has done a pretty decent job over the last several decades of recognizing what is a secondary issue and still getting along. Best example I can think of would be John MacArthur and Dr. R.C. Sproul. You've got yourself a Believer's Baptist guy and a Paedo Baptist guy. They loved each other. They labored with one another. They didn't write snarky blogs about one another. They showed this issue is not going to cause division because secondary and tertiary issues, while being important, they're not a thing. These days, however, I am observing just my life experience, which is somewhat subjective, what I see happening on TV, what I scour over the internet, is there are a lot of issues that the devil is using that apparently are so gut deep that we go to war with one another over an issue that isn't a cardinal doctrine. Please note, I am not suggesting for a second we get soft on false teaching at all. I am not even hinting that we don't contend earnestly for the faith given once. I'm not wanting to compromise, but I also want to be careful that I'm not making a thing when it's not a thing. Because Jesus wants unity. And I would even go a step further, not a begrudging unity. All right, fine. They think that, but all right, I'll fine. I don't know if I take communion with them, but we might be in heaven together. Okay, well, I get that sometimes. I really do. I don't think that's what Jesus desires for us. He wants love among the brethren. What would be an example of a thing that's not a thing? I actually have in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers 8. Jimmy, keep track of these because I suspect you might be able to think of something I didn't, which, okay, Let's be honest, that's not a challenging chore. But I just wrote these down, and please note, it's not to make a commentary on any of these. We've done that in the past. This is not intended to be, oh, you're trying to sneak in something about masks. No, I'm not. But I will use masks as one of my 8 issues that isn't a thing. It's not a thing. Unless you can find a Bible verse that informs me that if my brother wants to put on a mask and I don't, or vice versa, that we can't be in fellowship with one another and genuinely love one another. What? Are you feeling it? Have you felt this yet? Like, viscerally? Somebody disagrees with you. Let's just stick with mass. We've got seven more to go. Somebody disagrees with you on mass, and it's like, oh, man, what's the matter with that guy? Okay, you disagree. It's not a thing. It's not a thing. It's a thing. I don't know how much higher I can go to keep differentiating my things here. These issues shouldn't cause us to put our dukes up. Can we explain to the person, hey, this is what I think about mass, and this is why. And they can share what they think about mass and why, and we can still get along in genuine Christian love. Why are these issues causing us to really look at each other with a bit of a raised eyebrow? Huh. They think that about mass. Huh. I thought they were sound. I don't they go to the Shepherd's Conference? I thought they had it together. What, they think that about the mask? Issue number two, COVID. COVID is a thing. Is it an essential doctrine? It isn't even in the ballpark. I know the implications, and we got to figure out Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 and Titus 3. I get that. But COVID, my understanding of it, how I view the issue, is not an issue of orthodoxy, and neither is yours, or neither is anybody's. And yet, why is it that we are really kind of taking sides on this, like we aren't brothers and sisters in Christ? Number three, vaccines. This is a subject that is causing so much division, and we seem to be struggling to just get along. Now, I want to stick with just one aspect of vaccines, because I want to make sure that you don't think that what I'm saying about vaccines is an indication of what I'm thinking about vaccines, that I'm not get it, don't get it. What do we think about churches that are mandating it? Okay, I'll tell you, I think that's very bad. But the point is, there are some people who think vaccines, they're good. I know some people like that. They think that it's good. I know some people who think that it's terrible. I know both of them. I'm going to divide with one of them because they don't agree with me on the vaccine. I'm going to divide because their assessment of COVID isn't my assessment of it. You think it's a pandemic. She doesn't. Well, that's the end of our relationship. Huh. How could we possibly get along when we disagree on a thing? It's just a thing. How's about these issues? Election results. There are different evangelicals. They would say that bad boy was stolen. Others are going to go, I'm not so sure. And there might even be a third camp that goes, I don't think anything at all. I think it was a pristinely run election. No harm, no foul. It's all good. Okay. What theology is that? Oh, perhaps if you're a Calvinist, you're going, well, that's the doctrine of election. I don't think that word means what you think it means in this context. This is about what our take is on what happened in polling places. Is that causing division in your home? In your church, in your relationships? I wonder, because I see it. Here's another one, and these are all issues that are very current. Voter integrity. We're taking a look at the 2022 elections. Is my vote actually going to count? Somebody thinks yes, somebody thinks no. Away we go, over a thing. How's about this one? This is one that isn't political or social. This is a sin issue, but in a sense, it's the application of it in the political realm. Abolitionists versus incrementalists. There are good brothers and sisters who say, heartbeat law, not a chance. Abolish it. Nothing less will do. There are other Christians who would go, look, yeah, well, we agree with that, but we accept incrementalism. Okay, it's a different approach to the issue. I'm supposed to divide from you because you don't see it the way that I do? I think I got it right. I think you've got it wrong. How's about this one? Brace yourself for this. Systemic racism. What is that? Well, it is an understanding, an interpretation of a historical and current events in this country about how people groups treat one another. Anybody got a Bible verse? Okay, I get it. Galatians 3. Yes, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Yeah, I understand. But this isn't affecting that. It's how I observe and assess my nation. Of course, I think I've got it right. I don't think there's systemic racism. But you do. What Bible verse am I going to bring to go, well, church discipline for you? And even though we don't practice it formally, all too often these days, we practice it practically by just dropping them. I can't work with you in the church. You think this about it, and I think that. Maybe, just maybe, that what we are producing is a lot of glee from the devil, who is using all of these issues to break up something that Jesus wants, unity. Therefore, might I encourage us all as we engage in these conversations to make sure that we don't make a thing, unless it's a thing. This is Wretched Radio.
We have been so busy here at Wretched. How busy? We've been a Jehovah's Witness in the doorbell aisle at Home Depot busy around here. We've moved our warehouse. We've released new resources, Wretched Worldview, and Solving the God Puzzle. And we're getting set to release Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth while also filming Season 3. And we're also filming a new series about biblical counseling called Transformed. But you'll hear no complaints from us. Only gratitude. We are grateful for this opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and spread his gospel throughout the world. And we know we would not be able to do these things without the support of our gospel partners. If you're already supporting our efforts to reach millions all over the world with the gospel, we humbly thank you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Just head over to wretched.org/donate, or you can also text the word wretched to the number 44321. And thank you for your generosity, and thank you for keeping us busy.
Be careful. Be very, very careful, my cold-hearted conservative friend, because this just might melt your heart. If you are a supporter of preborn.org/wretched, providing ultrasounds, ultrasound machines, and sonograms, careful, this might just melt your heart.
That sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to Mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
You're giving love when you support Preborn, because a mommy sees a baby in the womb courtesy of an ultrasound machine and 80% of the time keeps the baby. $28 an ultrasound, or perhaps you might be of the means to provide an actual ultrasound machine if you can. Oh, they need them, and they'll put them to work, and it'll show some love. Preborn.org/wretched.
Do you want to hear a staggering statistic? As recent as this year, only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. That number should not only astound you, it should cause you to examine your own personal worldview. Do you see the world and the issues of the world through the lens of Scripture, or are your beliefs built on man-made philosophies? Most Christians have a dualistic worldview, meaning they separate spiritual things from, quote, real world things, without understanding that everything for the Christian should be filtered through Scripture. In our resource, Wretched Worldview, with Dr. Owen Strand and Todd Frill, seeks to help, not by telling you what to think, but by teaching you how to formulate a distinctly Christian worldview on 22 contemporary issues. Get all of the details and order your copy of Wretched Worldview, which comes with its very own handy study guide, now at the Wretched store by visiting wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies,
which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, what do you know? Somebody was keeping track. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you did your math. I had a list of eight things that aren't things. Eight current issues that are causing us to not genuinely, thoroughly, deeply love one another in Christian unity, that are issues that are blocking us from that or diminishing that. I had seven, or I had eight, but you only counted
seven. You only decided to share seven.
Seven of them. You are correct, sir. Before I get to my last one, do you think that I missed anything? I had COVID, masks, vaccines, abolitionists versus incrementalists, election results, voter integrity, systematic racism. That's what I came up. Any other big ones that I missed?
Yeah, I would say personally, from my standpoint, education tends to divide.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. We're all passionate about that, aren't we? Well, because I know what's best for my kids. And therefore, I assume I know what's best for your kids. But the reality is I don't, because I don't live in your house and you don't live in mine. So we did it one way, the right way, of course. But I can't shellack you or yell at you for doing it differently. I don't know stuff. I would say this. It is increasingly difficult for a Christian to send their child to public school. I do not believe that our kids are supposed to be missionaries to straighten out the mess that is public education or to correct the sinful behavior that they observe in other students. I don't think that's their job at that age. So I don't use that as an excuse to say, sure, it's a bit of a lion's den. It's the devil's lair, but I'm going to send them in as Christian missionaries. I don't think that that's not what I would do with my kid. Maybe you disagree. And what Bible verse are we violating that would cause us to not be in unity? I got to ask, where is it? Where is it? I love homeschooling. There, I said it. You like private school. You know what I say to that? Good on you. You say, no, we send our kids to public school. I say, you must have good reasons for doing that. Brother, you're right, Jimmy. Education increasingly, though, is getting tense because the CRT is in the schools, the sex ed is in the schools. Oh, hold on a second. I got one for you. California Department of Education is being sued because the curriculum was having the students pray to the Aztec gods of human sacrifice. Here's what it says. The lawsuit details the State Board of Education approved ethnic studies model curriculum, which includes a section of affirmation, chants, and energizers. Good thing they didn't say prayers. Although labeled as an affirmation, it addresses the deities both by name and their traditional titles, recognizes them as sources of power and knowledge, invokes their assistance, and gives thanks to them. Here's what it says. Students first clap and chant to the god Tezcatlipoca. Tezcatlipoca.
That sounds right.
Tezcatlipoca. this is what a news guy has to do before reading the story.
That's exactly.
And especially these days in tennis. Man, the Eastern Europeans are just dominating the sport. And sometimes you got to practice them. I guess I should have. Students first clap and chant to the god Tezcatlipoca, whom the Aztecs traditionally worshipped with human sacrifice and cannibalism, asking him for the power to be warriors for social justice. Next, the students chant to the gods Quetzalcoatl, Huitzilopochtli, and Xipe-Totec, X-I-P-E, Xipe? Xipe? Totec, seeking healing epistemologies and a revolutionary spirit. Huitzilopochtli, in particular, is the Aztec deity of war and inspired hundreds of thousands of human sacrifices during Aztec rule. Nice. I'm so glad that we're awakening the kids to do their little affirmation chants in the public schools. Finally, the chant comes to a climax with a request for liberation, transformation, and decolonization, after which students shout, "Punke be, punke be," in pursuit of ultimate critical consciousness. All right. Wouldn't that be enough to say a parent shouldn't send their kid to school? And I think the answer is maybe, maybe not. It's going to depend on the kid. And it's going to depend on the school, because not all the schools are doing this. This is California. And every school can be assessed differently. We did that for a number of years. We'd interview the teacher before the year began. And this is before we ended up homeschooling, because, well, when we moved to Georgia, well, let's just say private education is a lot more expensive than it was in Minnesota.
Tell me about it.
It is wowza. I'm sure it's about $15,000 a year if you want your kid to go to a private school. There may be some that are less. We couldn't find one. And so we homeschooled. But when we were sending them right down the street to the public school, we wanted to know what garbage might be slung at our kids, because that would help us make the decision. And we determined there was none, so we thought we were not sinning by doing it and sending them there. That could be your... I can't hate you, because I homeschooled and you don't. It's not a thing. It's a thing. And we're making a thing when it's not a thing. Jimmy, here's my number 8 that I forgot. Yep, here it is. If you recall, I had COVID, masks, vaccines, abolitionist versus incrementalist, election results, voter integrity, systematic racism, attitude toward politician. I singularize that because I'm just thinking of one specifically right now, and that is the Don. Consider the breadth of the feelings about the former president. And right away, out of the tens and tens of people, somebody just said, no, he's the current president. Okay. Look at the disparity right there. So right out of the gate, you've got that issue. You see it like this. Somebody sees it like, we can't come together and sing, "I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head." Now with you, you think that he should be the president, and you think he shouldn't be the president. No, that's not a thing. Consider all of the other issues. There are people who are just evangelicals who they're never Trumpers. And then way on the other side, you've got some people who just absolutely adore and affirm pretty much everything. And you've got everything in between there. I get that. He's a polarizing figure. But we can't be polarized. We can't go for it. And we shouldn't just be holding our noses and tolerating one another. If you're thinking, incidentally, that I'm soft on any of these positions, I doubt it. I don't think I am. But I don't think that I can divide from my brothers and sisters and not genuinely love them. And I feel that propensity in my own heart. And I see it manifesting itself inside of the Christian church. The body of Christ is becoming dissected. Oh, you're this. I'm that. Isn't there a book in the Bible that actually addresses that sort of thinking? 1 Corinthians? And how's about 1 John? As long as we're talking about the subject of love, prepare to take a drubbing on the subject. We aren't just supposed to put up with one another. We should love one another. Let me ask you a question. Have you stopped being friends with some people because of one of these issues? Do you maybe go, "I don't know that I want to have them over for dinner because of that"? If that's going on, my plea is for you to hear the words of John, the disciple of love. It isn't just one verse in 1 John that talks about love. You know, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. He who loves not God, for God is love." That's there. But it's not the only time that it is used. 1 John 3:10. "In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, for he does not love his brothers. for this message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who is at the wicked one and murdered his brother. Why? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel if the world hates you. We know that it does. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Psh, psh, psh. He's repeating this for a reason. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That's motivation enough for me to go, I want to make sure I've got my essentials, my secondaries, my tertiaries in order here. I want to understand what a thing is because I don't want this. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. By this we know love, because he laid down his life. So we have the definition of love, sacrificial. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then he concludes it. And this commandment that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. 13 verses. Love, love, love. Not just hold your nose. When it's an essential, we divide. When it's not a thing, we don't make it a thing. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, there was a new bill passed in the UK yesterday within the church in Wales. There's some big-time progression happening there. In a unanimous vote of approval, bishops are now allowing clergy within the church to bless same-sex marriages. But they did stop short of allowing them to conduct official marriage ceremonies. Okay, so let's think that through just a second. Why would they not allow priests to go ahead and perform the ceremonies? I mean, if there's concern from protecting the priests from actually participating in sin by performing a marriage ceremony for a same-sex couple, they can probably go ahead and lose that concern because they're already sinning by affirming and blessing these ungodly unions. So stopping short of performing the ceremony is not protecting anybody when you're already encouraging sinful behavior. Stories like these should cause all of us to hit our knees and pray for every person involved here because God's judgment and wrath are very, very real. I just pray someone is able to warn them in time and these bishops and priests are radically saved by God. And how about a little more marriage progress or regress? Actually, it's more like ignorance. The BBC reports that 74 women were married over the weekend in Bristol. To trees. Yeah, that's what I said. 74 able-bodied adult human women bought wedding dresses and married trees. You can't make this stuff up. One of the blushing brides said, quote, "To get married to a tree is an absolute privilege." Oh, I don't want to get all sappy, but this is absolutely wonderful. Yeah, that was pretty bad. But you try to come up with a better tree pun. I'm stumped. Well, Muslim extremists in eastern Uganda boarded a boat and murdered a young Christian evangelist last week. The boy was beaten and strangled to death while out fishing with friends. He was just 19 years old. A mob of at least five other teenagers are accused of killing the boy. The murder was reported to police, and the family of the victim has hired an attorney. And this is just the latest in many instances of persecution against Christians in Uganda. Please make sure that you are continuing to pray for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. Well, if you haven't heard, the Biden administration is reportedly preparing a lawsuit aimed at overturning the new Texas heartbeat law that prohibits baby murder after a heartbeat is detected. Okay, so not to make sense or anything here, but there's an urgent rush by the Biden administration to challenge a law which saves lives, but there wasn't any rush in saving Americans in Afghanistan. Okay, well, maybe that does add up because both instances result in murdered Americans. Joe Biden is by far the most pro-abortion president in history, and he's been in office just less than a year. I pray this challenge or lawsuit or whatever it's going to be will fail, and the lives of babies will continue to be saved. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Uh-oh, are we not keeping our eye on the prize? This is Wretched Radio. A wile of the devil is that, well, he's wily, and he loves to use issues to distract us, to get us off the hunt, to have us lose the smell. Okay, I'm done with my hunting illustrations. That's all I pretty much have right now. It's not the smell. When the dogs get the nose, they what? You're from Tennessee. You know these things.
The scent.
You lose the scent.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves to have us lose the scent. How does he do it? Look over here. No. Now look over there. You've lost interest. Look over here. And he gets us looking in all kinds of directions. And please note, some of them do need to be dealt with, especially if they're a threat to your family, to your local church. I'm not saying that we become Quakers. We stick our head in that we become the Amish and we are not going to be aware of anything that's going on with the English. No, I'm saying we're aware of these things, but we're not going to get off the scent. What's the scent? Matthew 28, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. That's the scent. And right now, I believe the devil has been more successful than perhaps ever before in creating things that cause us to really invest a lot of energy, viewing time, reading, studying into issues that just don't demand it. We need to be aware. I'm not saying there isn't any hierarchy of concerns. There certainly are. But we need to ask ourselves the question, am I putting my energies where God wants me to put them? I have, in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers, a number of stories that just might help bring crystal clarity to this concept. Now, please note the setup. I'm going to put some food on the table for us to consume. I'm not commenting on the food. I'm not critiquing the banquet. I'm just setting the table so that we can make sure we understand what is an important issue, make no mistake about it, but that I don't get off the scent. So here it is, with that caveat. The election results. Lot of buzz out there on the internet with it. The results, the investigations that have taken place in Arizona, Georgia. There's a lot of talk. Hey, there were some shenanigans over there. Now, I would ask you a question. When you hear that, how excited do you get? How excited do you get that, yes, there are people, now, please note, I'm putting the food on the table. There are people who would say, hey, if it turns out that there was fraud in the election, that could lead to a constitutional crisis. The military gets involved. Joe Biden is out. Donald Trump is back in. There are folks, they're talking like that. And I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent. And then there are other folks who are like on the vastly different end of the spectrum. But my question for you is, when you hear that that's a possibility, how do you feel? That's right. I'm asking. Suddenly I'm a psychologist. How do you feel about that? And if the emotion is, yes, yes, I wonder if these stories might help us to get back on the scent. Please note, I'm not making a comment on voter integrity. And by the way, I'm not saying that that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It is a really big deal. But I don't want to be putting my hope into potentially what might possibly happen. Or if you didn't care for that piece of food put on the table, the midterm elections. That's not my sustenance. That's not my hope. That's not where I think that this country, we're out of the woods. Is that a feeling that you have? Then maybe, just maybe, if we get better people in office, this country is out of the woods. I would like to make the case we're not even close. We are in such a deep, evil forest No politician is going to fix this. Not one. These caveats, I'm sorry, they're necessary because some people like to take clips out of context and then misrepresent on the internet. Fancy that. I'm not talking about the irrelevance of the subject. It's big. It's important. I want to be aware of it, but I don't want to put my hope in it, thinking that it's going to get fixed because we now have the right guy in office. And then, doesn't it tend to be the president? Some of us would go, well, wait a second, Congress, that's really important too. And then somebody might add on, hey, don't forget about the Supreme Court. But we think if we can get those things fixed, the country won't be in trouble anymore. And I would like to suggest to you, not a chance. I'm not saying don't get involved in politics. I'm not saying don't be interested and don't be aware. I'm not even saying you can't hope for something. There's nothing wrong with a properly placed hope to say, you know what, it would just be better overall for my family if this guy were in the office. No problem. The problem is when if we think that that guy, oh, okay, good. No more Barack. We didn't get Hillary. We are good. Every sign says we're off the scent if that's how we're feeling. This country is profoundly lost. How many stories do we need to prove that? You see them all the time. The thinking of the world increasingly dim and phenomenally foolish. It is on full display. Romans 1 right now. What do people need? What does a nation need? Rulers are good. Authorities good. They need the gospel. They need to be made a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you've been putting your hope in some of these things, putting too much weight in it, consider what's going on in Texas right now. A heartbeat law, 6 weeks, that if the heart is beaten, you cannot abort that child. That's an incremental law. We would like it to be totally wiped off of the books, but it's one that we can say at least some babies' lives will be saved. How do I know? Because Planned Parenthood ain't happy about it. And so we see that this law passed, and it's considered extraordinary. Consider now, so we got a law, right? We got a law. You're not going to kill your baby if they've got a heartbeat. And we go, yes, and please note, I'm glad for the law. I'm glad for it because babies will live. But I don't want to think that's fixing the place. How do I know? Well, President Joe Biden says he doesn't believe life begins at conception, labels Texas law almost un-American. Okay, so you got that going on in Texas. In the meantime, in Washington, the chief executive is saying, I continue to be a strong supporter of Roe v. Wade. I respect those who believe life begins at the moment of conception and all. I respect that. I don't agree, but I respect that. I'm not going to impose that on people. We could spend an hour dismantling that muddled thinking, that fallacious argument for being pro-choice. During the 2012 election, vice president candidate with Representative Paul Ryan, he said he believed life begins at conception, which is the teaching of the Catholic Church. Now he doesn't. And I accept it in my personal life, he said, but then he said he is going to work tirelessly to make sure that this un-American law doesn't stand. Uh-oh. Pro-abortion churches in Texas vow to fight the state's new pro-life law. Take God back from the religious right. Churches known as reproductive freedom congregations are united in their public support for a woman's right to an abortion and are determined to take God back from the religious right. The law was passed. It's all better, right? It's not. Attorney General Merrick Garland vows to protect constitutional rights of women seeking abortions in Texas. That's the U.S. Attorney General. This is bigger than a law. A law can't fit. I want the laws. It's just not going to fix the problem of the country. How's about all of the companies that are saying, hey, we're actually going to spend money to work against that law? Companies in Texas, major companies in Texas that are saying, quote, Texas SBB is an attack on women's right to choose. So we are donating $1 million to Planned Parenthood to help ensure that transportation is never a barrier to healthcare access. That didn't go away from the law. Why? Because we're off the scent. They need to be saved. Look, keep working for the laws. But don't put your hope there. They're going to disappoint you. How's about this force? Satanists appear to be saying, that's a part of our religious right, having abortions. So therefore, you can't ban it based on religious grounds. Look, I'm glad for the law. Have I made that clear? We got a bigger mess. We've got lost humanity. We've got people. How horrible hell is going to be for a president who promotes death? We got to keep our eye on the prize. We got to keep our nose on the scent. Yes, keep doing these things as you see fit and determine in the context of your local church. But let's not lose the scent. This is Wretched Radio. And now a message from our dear brother, Paul Marty, of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids' club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you been getting the monthly Wretched newsletters into your email? If you haven't, you should feel slighted and left out because you're really missing out. You're missing messages that are thorough and in-depth and cover a wide range of theological issues Christians are facing. You're missing updates on all the new things going on at Wretched. Updates on resource release dates, updates on upcoming sales in the Wretched store, and the most important update of all, Todd's haircut and beard trim schedule. And you're missing out on it all if you're not subscribed. But it's simple to rectify this huge mistake in your life. Just head over to wretched.org/newsletter and get all signed up. Oh, and I forgot to mention, as a subscriber to the Wretched Monthly Newsletter, you're eligible to win free stuff. We give resources away every day here at Wretched Radio to our newsletter subscribers. So don't miss the free stuff. wretched.org/newsletter. That's wretched.org/newsletter. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
This shopping rule has been officially broken. You know the rule. You're in the store. You're choosing between two items. One is more expensive. It's the nicer one, you think. And it's better than the less expensive item. You can't have both. It can't be inexpensive and good. That rule has just been broken. MediShare, double the satisfaction rate of people who have traditional health insurance. MediShare is affordable biblical health sharing, and it saves the average family $500 per month. And yet, the people, the 400,000 people that are in the MediShare program, are more satisfied with MediShare than other folks with traditional health insurance. The rule has been broken. Learn how much you could save and be happy with MediShare at 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You can get yourself annoyed, or we can work to get them saved. This is Wretched Radio. A number of stories that could agitate you. that could cause you to see the world as the enemy and not the harvest field. And yes, we can indeed have righteous indignation. There is a place for that, but there's also a place, and some of us really wrestle with this balance. We're pretty good at the indignation part, but what about the concern for the soul of the sinner who's getting up your nose? Story number one. This CEO supported the controversial Texas abortion law in Texas. This is the six-day heartbeat law. It was passed. It appears to be upheld for now. And so a lot of pro-lifer, we're celebrating that, man. And this guy is a CEO. They do video game stuff making. I don't know what these games mean. Killing Floor and Chivalry apparently do, because one was so popular. He tweeted, hey, that's a good thing. You fired. Canceled. Out of there. They announced his departure on Labor Day, saying, quote, the comments given by him are of his own opinion and do not reflect those of this company. His comments disregarded the values of our whole team.
Values?
Yeah, values of our whole team. So the corporation has a culture. That's fine. You don't align with it. You're out of here. That is business increasingly is flexing muscle that we didn't even know they had. I don't even think we considered business much of an appendage on the national body. We thought politics, the court system, education, entertainment. How's about business and how they're trying to impose their beliefs on people? And this guy is feeling it. And these are the big forces that we're dealing with. So I want this law. I want even more betterer laws. But I don't want to believe for a second that it is not pitch black out there. It is midnight. Can it get any darker? I mean, people who are marching in the streets, I've got to have the right to have an abortion. I want to take my own baby's life. Was just watching last night. I am telling you, you're going to flip. You are absolutely going to flip. Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth. It's going to be available in a couple of weeks. Season 1, it was good. Season 2 is amazing. And we talk about the subject of abortion, 2 episodes. Scott Klusendorf just absolutely slammed it out of the park on both of the episodes. And John Fabares was out in the streets talking to the students at the universities. They have not thought through these issues. They have soundbite ideologies. Well, you know, I guess, yes, it would be taking a life. Privacy is an important thing. Oh, I see. Can we do that with a toddler? No, we can't. So it doesn't apply. Your assumption is that the unborn are not a whole innocent human being, an image bearer of God. And you see these people processing that it's a muddle coming out of them. And that's what needs to, that heart needs to change. That heart needs to, because I want abortion obliterated. I want that. There's still going to be people who disagree and want the other, and they will continue to fight. And they will continue to have abortions, and they'll find ways to do it. They do it all the time in countries that still ban it. So I want to make sure that I'm not losing sight of the importance of this, but that I'm not putting my hope in it either. These people are lost, like real bad. And I can be, fire a guy because he's a pro-lifer. He sends out one tweet and you can the guy. Yeah, I think that's pretty annoying. And the people who did it are lost and they're going to hell. I can't lose sight of that. How's about this story? The Jimmy Kimmel program. Apparently, Jimmy was driving around in an RV for a number of months, not doing his evening talk show, which I got to tell you, once in a while, I'll bop through them from CBS, ABC, NBC to see these Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and O'Brien. Conan. Not him. I think he's done, isn't he? I'm talking about Colbert, Stephen Colbert.
Oh.
Nothing. Politics, politics, politics. Donald Trump is alive and well on evening talk shows. They just bash and trash. They can't get enough of those ratings. I mean, of those talking points about him. It's all those shows have really become. Agitating? Yep. And unless Jimmy Kimmel repents and trusts in Jesus Christ, that talk show host is going to have his mouth silenced on Judgment Day. And he's going to be condemned and sentenced to an eternity in hell. So yeah, this is annoying. Says unvaccinated people shouldn't get ICU beds. Quote, Dr. Fauci said if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. We'll just let that be. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy. Wow. Wow. There's some worldly love for you. Brr. Cold as ice, and they have nothing to do with foreigner. Jimmy Kimmel's lost. Jimmy Kimmel needs the savior. And so does every person who laughs and goes, yeah, who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. He said, we've still got a lot of pan-dimwits out there. I see. So if you disagree with his understanding of the pandemic, you're a dimwit. We name call in the world. We shouldn't in the church. They do in the world. People are still taking this ivermectin. The Poison Control Center has seen a spike in calls from people taking this livestock medicine to fight the coronavirus, but they won't take the vaccine. It's like if you're a vegan and you're like, no, I don't want a hamburger. Give me that can of Alpo instead. Bit of a complicated joke that isn't all that funny. That's the attitude of the man. And I can't lose sight of the fact I don't want to put all of my energy into annoyance and agitation. I'm probably not going to bump into Jimmy anytime soon. Chances are pretty fair. Neither I nor you are going to get invited onto his program and have an opportunity to sit with him in the green room and ask him if he'd consider himself to be a good person. But I do know people who think like him. They're in my world, and they're in your world, too. Why I voted for the atheist president of Harvard's chaplain group. Jeff Bezos funds the quest for eternal life. This is agitating. They're working on transhumanism. Somehow coming up with your brain sticks around. We're going to put you on some sort of robot machine. You're going to live forever. Why? Because these people are horrified. And you're going to see this stuff. And it's the genetic stuff that's just the beginning. Bezos, 57 and recently retired, is said to have a fascination with preventing aging. And so he's invented, wow, millions of dollars from his nearly $200 billion fortune into Altos Labs, a project exploring gene reprogramming. That's annoying. Jeff needs the savior. End of the world. Date when sun will die after engulfing Earth, pinpointed by experts. Oh, well, the experts have spoken. We know when the sun is going to burn out. Do we? Maybe I'm dumb. Okay, forget the maybe. I'm dumb. But even I was going, I think the math is a little bit off here. Here's the story. The sun is around. This is the story, not my opinion. The sun is around 4.6 billion years old. And astronomers believe that it is currently halfway through its life. 4.6 times 2 would be 9.2 billion. I thought we were 13.2 billion years old. Don't we have a 4 billion year discrepancy here? Or did the sun evolve later?
It depends on who you're talking to.
Honestly. Billions of years. Do you know how long that is? Billions of years. And they're claiming now, no, we do have this figured out because we know how much energy the sun has lost over the last 4 billion years. Really? You do? Because everything has stayed the same. Not that the Earth is billions of years old. Everything, uniformitarianism. No changes. Everything constant. And you've somehow claimed to figure out the power of the sun. That's because the sun's brightness increases by about 10% every billion years. That's not science. That's extrapolation and interpretation. That is, I've got a worldview that denies God. I am going to find a scientific explanation to prove we don't need a creator. We've got Darwin's theory, and we will use our very brilliant brains to contrive all kinds of things that we claim are science when they're not, so we can disprove God. Agitating? Yep. Yep, it is. But it should be heartbreaking. And that's my encouragement to me. I don't want to lose righteous indignation, but I don't want to neglect heartbreak when even evil sinners die and go to hell. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.